Hello there.
Hey, y'all.
It's been a while.
Not too long.
We haven't
recorded in a while.
We haven't recorded in a while, because last time, we recorded a couple episodes.
Yeah. We've only missed one Friday, though, I guess.
Yeah, so far, you know. It's kind of difficult. I was away on a trip.
Yeah.
And then she's going away on a trip now.
So we're going to have to get a lot done today, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. So, guess who we're learning about today?
I have no idea.
BTK.
No, God.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Thank the Lord.
It's not BTK.
God. Oh, my God. Don't scare me like that.
Yeah, we're never going to
do. I don't need nightmares.
We're never doing BTK. Ever. Ever. I'm sorry.
You guys heard
never.
It here first. We're never talking about BTK. So if you...
It's just too disgusting.
If you want one about him, go listen to another podcast.
Yeah, it's just too disgusting. Go listen to Morbid. Morbid has done some interesting stuff on BTK, and it's just... I laugh sometimes, I know I shouldn't, but sometimes I laugh at it. It's hilarious.
Murdering people is not a laughing matter.
It's not.
Don't murder people, please.
But Morbid is a laughing matter.
Yeah, please don't murder people.
No, yeah, don't. That's always our quote every time we do a podcast. Please don't murder people. I mean, she's still scared of me after the Skylar Neese murder.
I think I've gotten a little bit over it.
Maybe. But today we're going to be learning about a girl named Christine Paolillo.
Okay.
So.
That should be fun to say.
It's a fun, there are some interesting names in here, I gotta say. There are some pretty interesting names
because
in the story.
Only interesting people murder people.
Yeah. Only interesting names murder people.
Remember that. If you're ever, meeting somebody for the first time and they say their name is something like John Knickerbocker, run. He will murder you.
John Knickerbocker didn't kill anyone, though.
That's true.
Knickerbocker was from our,
Diane Downs episode.
Diane Downs episode.
So. If you haven't heard that one, go listen to it.
He didn't kill anyone. He just was dating the person who did kill someone.
Yeah.
So, it's always great. So Christine Paolillo. So, first we're going to start a little bit on her early life, kind of get a good glimpse of what she dealt with.
She was as a person.
Yeah, because she dealt with quite a bit, actually, as a kid.
Okay.
I actually kind of felt bad when I was doing the first part because I was like, wow, this girl actually went through quite a bit in her childhood. So, she was born on March 31st, 1986.
Hey, that's 6 days after my birthday.
Yeah, that means she would have been 6 years younger than my mom. So, she'd probably be in her mid-30s by now.
Okay.
She's probably in her mid-30s now because my mom's almost 40 this year.
Okay.
So... She was born.
I'm sure she'll be glad to know.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure she'll be glad to know that I said that on the podcast. Yeah. She'll be like, what?
Hello?
You weren't supposed to tell people that. She was born in Long Island,
okay,
New York, and to Lori and Charles Paolillo.
Okay.
So, you know, it's normal at first. You know, we're doing good.
Yep.
Lori was a stay-at-home mom, and Charles was a construction worker.
Okay.
When she was two, her dad died, along with her grandfather and her great-grandmother.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so she dealt with a lot at a young age. It didn't say why they died, but I'm pretty sure her great-grandmother was just because of old age.
Yeah, probably.
When she was seven, she went to live with her other grandparents in Houston, Texas.
Okay.
And she was diagnosed with alopecia, which is basically, it's basically a disease when your immune system, it attacks... your hair follicles. So she lost all her hair. She lost her eyebrows. She lost her eyelashes. Yeah. So she had to deal with all that. Plus she has alopecia. So if you want to learn more about alopecia, is just Google it because it's a pretty interesting disease. But she had that. She got that when she was around seven. So to make her feel better, she started wearing wigs and she wore a lot of makeup to cover up the eyelashes and the eyebrows. But the wigs she wore were very unflattering. Like, they were interesting wigs. That does not look like you should wear that, you know. She went to Clear Lake High School in Houston, where she was bullied a lot because of her wigs and her wearing a lot of makeup. After a little while, two girls named Tiffany Rowell and Rachel Coloridis befriended Christine. And they became, her new best friends, you know. They weren't, the popular girls, but, you know, they were, really pretty girls, and they were, people liked them, you know. They were just, they really wanted to be friends with Christine. That wasn't fake at all, you know. They taught her to dress, correctly and wear good wigs and do makeup so that, you know, she didn't look like a clown rolled over in bed. Because I'm sorry, I looked at a picture of her when I was doing research on this, and I was like, what the heck? This girl looks like a freaking clown. Like what the, what was that noise? I don't know what that noise was. She was, when they were done, she was voted most irresistible in her class.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so, like, they did a pretty good job with her. Like, you know, I only saw the picture before the makeover. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's looking at a picture now. She's, no, there was a different picture where she's actually, like, has the makeup and everything. And it's like, what the heck?
I saw
this
one.
Is the one I saw. She.
Oh, my.
Yeah, she looks, oh, my God, like.
Not a fan.
No, like the makeup is just, oh my God.
The bright red
if you
lipstick.
Want to see a picture, just Google Christine
it.
Palila. Palila is Paolilla. So Google that and you can see a picture of her and you'll
She's
understand.
Got, there's another interesting one with her with an interesting wig on and some interesting glasses.
Yeah, she looks kind of a little freaky. Wait, doesn't she? She kind of looks like Edna Mode. Dude, she does. She looks like Edna Mode. I think so. Sorry, we're awful people.
She, awful.
Christine, also, this is kind of important for future. Oh my God. This is kind of important for, like, the future of the story. She also had a real issue with, like, jealousy and, like, obsession.
Okay.
Like, she always had that. She'd always get jealous about a lot, you know, everything.
Okay.
You know? Like, we know those type of people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the people that get jealous over everything.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I don't want you. She was also a serious drug addict.
Oh,
I think
lovely.
I think it was mainly after the whole alopecia thing.
Mm-hmm.
She started, she didn't start doing drugs at 7, but when she got into school,
mm-hmm.
everybody there was doing drugs at that time. Like, let's remember, it was like the 90s, late 90s. So she's probably, they were like kind of really into the drugs, you know, getting those drugs. She had a boyfriend named Christopher Snyder.
Christopher Snyder, what a generic name.
Yeah, and this is also part of later. All these names are part of later, so it's important to remember who they are. And he actually, his sister had made comments on their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
His, Christopher's sister. Because she was known as the psycho to them. And actually, after all this happened, they actually nicknamed her the psycho.
Oh.
Like the psycho killer, because she's crazy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She called the police on Christine a lot because when Christine and Christopher would fight, she would lay on his lawn until he let her in, and he would bang on the window and the screen door, and he would try to break into his house when they'd have a fight. Like, who the heck does that?
I'm done.
Like, if I don't, we don't have, like, boyfriends, you know, we don't have boyfriends. Uh-huh. We're, like, you know, not old enough for boyfriends. Like, you know,
yeah.
We have certain rules when it comes to boyfriends.
Right.
But, I'm pretty sure that if I had a boyfriend and we got into a fight, I would not go lay on his lawn.
Or if we had a fight, would you come and lay on my lawn?
I would probably come sneak in your window if we had a fight. Like, but that's just best friend stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's just friend stuff. Like, you know, if you get in a fight with your best friend, you're gonna try and make her laugh and do crazy stuff. Your boyfriend, not so much, because your boyfriend is more of like a... Boyfriends, it's just different with best friends. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand, but it's just, like, different. he wasn't, like, much better, though. He wasn't just, like, the choir boy himself, you know. He wasn't the perfect child. He wasn't the perfect child. He was a really aggressive guy.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, he was really aggressive and abusive.
Lovely.
And Christine's friends had actually asked her multiple times to break up with him.
Okay.
But, you know.
You know.
She's the psycho, so of course she's not gonna do that. Never. Ever. 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 So, we know a lot about her background now. So now we're gonna get into the murder.
I don't know.
So there are four parts to this that I, like, kind of, I titled them. I'm very organized. So I titled,
I have
the early life, the murder, finding them, like, finding the bodies, and then apprehending the killers. So, like, we're gonna go into the murder.
Okay. Alrighty, I'm ready.
This actually, it's, okay, I'm not gonna lie. It is... it's not like a as worse a murder as the other ones we've done.
Okay.
But it's just really sad.
Sad.
It's okay. Just sad. So, by the way, this is all according to Christine, because, you know, she was, like, the only person who, because, you know, the other people are dead. She's the only person who could tell the story.
Right.
So, this, according to what all the evidence and everything, this pretty much is probably true. But, you know, we can't be totally sure. So, this all happened on July 18th, 2003. This was, like, 3 months after you were born. 4 months after you were born.
That's fun.
That's always fun, you know. She was born in 2003, so, you know. This happened not long ago. Dude. Tiffany, Christine, Tiffany, and Rachel were still great friends. You know, uh-huh. They were best friends. They had graduated at this point.
Uh-huh.
Tiffany, her boyfriend, Marcus Priscilla, and his cousin, here's the funny name, Adelbert Sanchez. Yes, Adelbert. His name is Adelbert. Literally, it's spelled A-D-E-L-B-E-R-T. Adelbert. Adelbert Sanchez. Mm-hmm. So that's why I knew I would get her on that name. Because that's just, like, hilarious. So, yeah, it's Tiffany, her boyfriend Marcus, his cousin Adelbert, and Rachel.
Okay.
They were going to hang out at Tiffany's later that day. And Christine and Christopher were going to go over there.
Uh-huh.
So they were the last to get to the house. And basically, they kind of mainly went there to get their hands on some drugs. Because okay. Marcus, Tiffany's boyfriend, he dealt cocaine and ecstasy.
Oh, that stuff's fun.
So they were going to score on that.
Cool.
So
that's a good way to die.
After that, they were probably going to leave. So Christine basically said that after she was caught that Christopher had actually had a plan to go and rob their friends.
Okay.
He wanted to go and rob them.
That's all. That's like a good way to get shot.
Yeah, but so he wanted to rob Marcus of the drugs.
Yeah.
And then Tiffany and Rachel, they made a lot of tips because they worked they worked at a strip club. So they made a lot of tips. So he wanted to go and steal that money too.
I was going to ask if they were waitresses, but clearly not.
No, they chose a different path in life. Chose a weirder path in life. That's true. I'm sorry, but it's kind of, I don't understand that whole situation. I just can't. So they had to get that, you know, they had to get that cheddar cheese. So they had to get that when they robbed them. I'm very random. So they were hoping to get the drugs and the money. So Christine said that before they went into the house, Christopher surprised her twice.
Okay.
So first, he surprised her by, before they went into the house, he put a pistol in her hand.
Oh.
Yeah, he put a loaded pistol in her hand before they went in the house. So he knew something was going to happen. And then again, by shooting Marcus. This is where her psycho energy comes out, you know? So she claimed that the first shot, when they first shot Marcus or whatever, she described it as like an energetic rampage feeling.
Uh-huh.
You know when like,
Like an adrenaline rush?
Like an adrenaline rush. Yeah. She got that. And then after that, she said it was as if the gun was firing on its own.
Oh.
Yeah, because that...
Yes, because triggers are made to self...
And that she was shooting it blindly.
Pull. Oh, yes. Yes, because that's what you would typically do. Oh, yes, because when you're killing someone, you would be crying.
Yeah, so, you know, that was her claim. I myself don't believe it, because, you know, she is
that's
a psycho.
Yeah.
And what she did later on makes it true that that was probably fake. Like, that whole thing was, mm-hmm. like... It didn't fire on its own, obviously. So, when they found later, they killed all four of them.
Oh.
Tiffany, Rachel, Marcus, and Adelbert.
Adelbert.
I'll tell you what. Christine is Adelbert.
Oh, my God.
So, there... And you could tell by the shots, like, in the morgue, they could tell that the shots were clearly aimed... Like, they...
You don't just shoot someone blindly and it goes right to their heart. Yeah, they were clearly shot
with precision. Like, they weren't just, like, all, you know, swinging their fists. So, there were 40 casings.
Dear Lord!
And they were all found near the two girls, Tiffany and Rachel. Marcus and Adelbert didn't even get...
They didn't get any attention.
They didn't get the bad part of it. Christopher shot them, like, twice, and then they were dead. The girls, cool. You could tell... I'm telling you right now, you could tell by what she did and the fact that most of the casings were aimed toward the girls that Christine had an emotional, like, connection to what was going on. Like, it was based off of her emotional.
I'm just confused as to why she wanted to kill them. Like, weren't they the ones that turned her out ugly? They had
some options, which I'll tell you about later in a minute. Okay. But it was weird. They also. Okay. Let's remember, they didn't do this to the men. Which I find to be weird. They shot the women in the groin. Yeah, but they didn't do that to the men. They did that to the women.
Okay.
Like, what the heck? I'm so confused.
That would hurt.
I know, I don't understand. frankly, I'm just sitting here and I'm like, it was like, I finished this at like midnight, this part, and yeah. I was like, oh my God, like, what the heck? Like, huh? Rachel was wounded in the butt, which means that basically she was running away when she got shot.
Cool.
So she probably was trying to run, and then they shot her in the butt, and she fell, and she died.
Okay.
But then, this gets worse. It does get worse, actually.
How?
So, as Rachel, after she shot in the butt, she's sitting there laying on the floor, and she's dying because she's been shot multiple times. And Christine decides to go and make it worse. She goes up to Rachel with the butt of the gun, hits her in the head multiple times.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Until she's first... Oh, she's dead now. Yep. She's gone.
Blunt force trauma will kill you just like that.
If 20 shots won't kill you, then, you know, blunt force trauma will do it. I don't know if there were 20 shots in her. I don't know, but I was, you know, taking a gander at it.
And we're not trying to tell you how to murder someone.
We're trying to explain why you shouldn't murder someone. It's an opposite, opposite thing here, hon.
Like, we're trying to be sarcastic to prove to you not to kill people.
Plus, we're just weird people, so, you know. We're just normally sarcastic and crazy, so. the police later stated that this was overkill with the women. Well, I don't believe it. Like, how could this possibly be overkill?
I don't think it's overkill. Like, I think that...
How in the world...
I think shooting someone in the butt is well called for.
I know, right? Like, totally normal stuff, you know? Everybody does it. No, don't do it.
Don't kill someone.
Which... You know, always, like I said, normally means that she had to have a personal issue with the women. And so a therapist actually said that he thinks it was because the girls didn't have to try as hard to be pretty and accepted. Oh. And she did. Because of her alopecia and everything. They think...
Oh, is it their fault?
They think that the girls were... She thinks that the girls were pitying her because they didn't have to try as hard. So they think that Christine built up a bunch of envy and jealousy and, like... The rage just...
I guess I can see that.
I mean, yeah, but that's still no reason.
Still not a reason to kill someone.
Like, what the heck? Like, why in the world would you freaking do that? Like, so now that we know what happened, why don't we talk about how they found her? Found the bodies.
Oh, God.
It actually... I'm not gonna... Okay, I'm just not gonna say anything. It's, like, not bad, but it's not good. You know?
Okay.
Like, not as bad as the ones we've done.
Like the Lululemon murder.
Oh my God, the Lululemon murder still haunts
me. We kicked this podcast off with a bang. Like,
no, yeah.
If you survived that one, you can for sure survive this one.
And then the freaking, Maddie Clifton murder. Dude, that one still kind of haunts me.
Oh, yes.
Like, what the heck?
I mean, after starting this, I have been more cautious to not be murdered. I'm not gonna lie.
True.
I mean,
I guess this kind of takes a toll on me because now I'm kind of nervous to go on a walk. No, I'm not. I'm like, I'll still go on a walk, but I'll be like, is there somebody behind me?
I'm like kind of nervous to go to the, I'm kind of nervous to go to the gym by myself, so I always go to the back row. I always go to the back so that I can't be snuck up on and murdered.
Me and Jaden are thinking about doing a little trip to the actual place of the Lululemon Burger. Oh, yeah.
So it took me a second to figure out.
It's in Maryland, right?
We're trying to talk our parents into taking us to Maryland.
Because she can't, like, drive that long by herself yet.
I mean, we could fly out there.
I mean, that, like, sounds like a lot of money that I don't have. I mean, maybe we could convince your parents to let us go on a little road trip.
To Maryland?
To Maryland. It's only, happen. Like, a 10-hour drive.
My mom won't even let me drive through Gary, Indiana.
That's only, like, what? How long is...
Well, no... when she was telling me that I should be, take a trip with you and Lana to my grandparents, like, I could drive us there, mm-hmm. she was like, but you'd have to go around Gary, because I think you might die. Because if you guys don't know, Gary, Indiana is, like, the murder capital of the U.S.
I want to go.
So it's a solid chance. I mean, we'll probably cover a story from Gary some point in time.
Oh, yes. I have a story planned. Not from Gary, but I have a story hopefully planned, and I'm wanting to do it so bad. And I want to surprise you with it.
Oh,
like, yeah. I have plans, bud. Okay. We should probably keep going with this. Like,
yeah, we probably should. This is going to be the longest podcast ever.
I know. We just get so off topic. Especially now we're more comfortable with the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, before we were like, okay, we got to stay on topic the whole time.
Yeah.
But now we're, like, more comfortable.
Yeah. Our first podcast, man.
It was awful. We listened back to it and we're like, wow.
We are awful.
That's why we now do a thing where, like, one of us does the research and the other person reacts to it. Because when we both do it, it just turns into a disaster.
Yeah. Because then we both have, like, the same information that we're trying to share, and then we're always lost, so.
Yeah, so it's just easier.
Having one person does it. It also makes it better.
Because now we get to read Jane's reactions to things.
If only you could see my reactions.
I know, if only we did a YouTube channel, dude. That would be hilarious, dude. People would die.
People would just lose their minds.
Okay, so let's talk about how let's talk about how they found the four bloody bodies. So
we literally just got off topic for a solid 5 minutes about nothing.
About Gary, Indiana. So it was a friend of Tiffany's that found them. Her name was Brittany Vicko.
Vicko.
It was V-I-K-K-O. It's kind of a weird name, but I kind of dig it. Like, I kind of dig that last name.
Yeah.
She was 18 years old when she found the bodies.
Oh!
18. Like, what the heck? She had been best friends with Tiffany since middle school.
No thanks.
So, for her, it was, like, just a normal night. She was calling Tiffany. Because, you know, they're best friends. You know, they're best friends. So, but Tiffany was not answering her phone.
Well, she's dead.
Wow, way to brighten the mood, bud.
Well, we are talking about murder.
After calling a couple times, Tiffany's boyfriend, Marcus, mm-hmm. answered her phone, and he told her that Tiffany was in the bathroom.
Wait, Marcus, the one that got shot, Marcus?
Mm-hmm. So this was probably before the murders. Marcus was like, yeah, she's in the bathroom.
So, and like, when they're getting robbed, pretty much.
No, I think this was before everything happened.
Oh, okay.
That she was in the bathroom, you know, but I don't know why she wouldn't answer the phone. Like, I'm not sure on that whole thing. Like, it's just kind of vague.
Weird.
I looked around a lot for more information on this part, but it was just like, you know.
That's weird.
I think it had to have been during the robbery part of it. Because why would Tiffany not answer the first couple times?
Yeah.
She always answers her phone.
Right.
So then she waited about a half hour to call back. Because Brittany was like, yeah, I'll call her back in a minute when she's out of the bathroom. So she waited about a half hour, and she kept calling, and she wouldn't answer. She called, like, multiple times, like, nonstop, and no one answered. So she'd been calling for about an hour. It was about four now. It was three when she started calling, and it's now four. So she's been calling for an hour. How many calls do you think are on her call list?
28.
Mm-hmm.
Or more.
So she had been in the area because she'd been in a meeting. Mm-hmm. And she decided that she was going to stop by Tiffany's house and make sure everything was all right.
Bad idea.
So, you know, she did the normal. She went and grabbed some food because she got out of meeting. She went to McDonald's. You know, best place you could ever go, right? No, I'm sorry. I hate McDonald's with everything in me.
It's cheap.
So she was with her boyfriend, her nephew, and her boyfriend's cousin.
Some very random people to be with.
They probably went to the meeting with her. I don't know what, but they were with her.
Okay.
So they were all in the car. She pulled into Tiffany's driveway and immediately thought something was off because Tiffany's truck was in the driveway with a back tire on the curb. I don't know if that means something, but I thought it was some... Maybe she's just an awful driver. I don't know. I mean, Jaden runs over my curb a lot. So.
I didn't today.
You didn't today. A lot of people run over the curb in front of my house. I don't know why. It's just a normal curb.
I don't understand.
And Marcus's car was parked right next to the driveway, so she was like, well, they have to be here. Like, what the heck? What's going on? She left her family in the car. She went up to the door by herself, and... she rang the doorbell. No one answered. She kept ringing it, and still no answer. After ringing it a couple of times, she went over to a nearby window and tried to look through. You know, like, cupping your hand so you can see through it. But she, like, no movement, nothing.
Like, that's when you break the window.
It was dead silent in that house.
Yeah, well, they're all dead.
Oh, my God, I can't. I didn't think about that before I said it. Dead silent. I didn't think about that. There was, like, nothing. It was, like, as if, like, nobody had been home, you know? Just nobody was home at all. She started banging on the door multiple times, getting, like, harder and louder until the door that was unlocked started creaking open.
Why would you tread the door?
When I was listening to this, I was like, oh, my God, it's a horror movie. I was reading it, and I was like, it's a horror movie. Oh, my God, this is, like, a horror movie. Like, the door cracks open.
Yeah.
She slowly walked in, calling Tiffany's name. You know, she was like, Tiffany, where the heck are you? Like, you know, I'm getting nervous. I'm, like, getting anxious talking about this, so that's why I'm, like, being weird. Immediately, there was something she said. She described it as, like, metallic and steely smelling in the air, which I am not even going to begin to comprehend what that could possibly smell like. But it probably has something to do with, shell casings. Like, metallic,
or
steely.
Or blood. Sometimes blood smells metallic-y.
Maybe. It could have been blood. Maybe it was a mix of the shell casings and the blood. Who knows? Again, it was completely silent. And this was not like Tiffany, because Tiffany was normally the type of person, she was like a normal girl, you know, type of person, like, you know, always really upfront, you know. She wasn't, it's the last thing anyone would expect of her.
Yeah.
So she was like, the car was in the driveway, the door was unlocked. She walked through this small foyer and went into the living room and immediately there saw everything, because they were in the living room. And she saw it, all four of them.
Cool.
Just in the living room.
Loving it.
So now at this time, Tiffany's boyfriend figured, okay, she's been in there for a little while. Maybe I should go check on her, make sure everything's all right. So just as he's getting out of the car, Tiffany comes running out of the door screaming. And, like, she's literally, like, people would think she got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And she's yelling, call the cops. So right away, her boyfriend's, like, confused. And he walks in and immediately sees it. And comes out screaming, call the cops. So, there was a neighbor across the street who was talking on his phone. So, her boyfriend ran over there and told him to call 911. So, he called 911.
As one would.
And that's how the whole thing started. That's not how,
lovely.
How they found everything. So, that's always, you know. And, now, it had been, let's fast forward some more. All right.
Okay.
We're going to fast forward 3 years later.
Good Lord.
It took these idiots 3 years to find out who freaking did it. 3 years. It was 2006. It was after I was born. I was born in 2005. Like, what? So the entire time we were children, this murderer was out there.
My whole time from the point I was newborn to...
About three years old.
Yeah.
So, they had a break in the case, and they put a sketch on the news that looked exactly like Christine.
Okay.
And I don't know how they just...
All of a sudden,
found this break, you know? Yeah. So, Christine and her new husband at the time, Justin Rott.
Justin Rott.
Yep, he rotted away. No, I'm kidding. He didn't rot away in prison. He didn't have anything to do with it. She married him after, like, years after this. So, they saw on the news, and immediately she told her husband that she was in active participant in the murder. An active participant. What the heck? She was not an active participant. She was a freaking psycho.
An active participant.
So, right away, this is what really got me. Justin and Christine ran away. Like, if I found out that my husband killed someone, I would have been like, yeah, we're bye, getting Felicia. A divorce. I wouldn't run away with him. So they ran away to a hotel in San Antonio.
Okay.
And they didn't leave that hotel for 8 months. Didn't leave it.
What?
Yes. Didn't leave it. So when they found her, they got an anonymous tip telling them where Christine was located.
Uh-huh.
It was probably like a hotel manager. Who knows, you know. Probably. They got an anonymous tip telling them where she was. So when they apprehended them, there were over 100 needles from heroin use. They both, like, were heroin addicts. So right away, like, there were, oh my god, there were so many needles.
That's a lot.
I mean, they didn't leave for 8 months, you know? So right away.
What are they doing, shooting up, like, 10 times a day?
Who knows? Right away, Christine denied involvement in the murders and blamed it on her boyfriend, Christopher, at the time.
Of course, as one would.
Yeah, but, you know, of course she blamed it on Christopher. When they tried to, before he could be apprehended, he ran into the woods with water and a bottle of pills and killed himself. So, you know, he's dead. Yep. Soon as he knew, oh, I'll go to jail, I'm gonna go kill myself in the woods, then I'll just be dead. They found him in South Carolina.
Where was this at?
In Texas. The murders and everything happened in Texas. They found him in South Carolina.
What?
I know. So, you know, yeah, he dead now because he killed himself because he knew he was going to, you know, go to jail.
How did they find him in South Carolina? Like, what possessed them to go to South Carolina to look for him?
Maybe they found, maybe somebody found them. Who knows? But, you know, they found him. And he's dead because, you know, he ran into the woods with water and a bottle of pills.
Okay, so I just did the math. If they would have shot up heroin once every day, that would be 240 needles.
Wow. But each of them?
Okay, that would be 480 needles.
Dude. Wow. But thanks to Justin, mm-hmm. Christine's husband at the time.
Uh-huh.
He is the one who put her in jail.
Well, go, Justin.
He told the police what Christine confessed to him. That she was in... Basically, he confessed that she was an active... She said she's an active participant in a murder. And that she had gone back and beat Rachel over the head with a gun. That's all he told her he did. No, she shot the freaking idiot. So, you know.
Done.
So, she was arrested for 4 counts of murder.
Well.
Now, because she was a juvenile offender at the time uh-huh. of the murders, she spared the death penalty. So, you know, she ain't dying yet.
Yet.
But, you know, she was sentenced to life in prison in Gatesville, Texas. But you know when she has a shot at parole?
Please don't say 2020.
No. 2046. She has a shot at parole like 26 years from now.
That makes sense. Okay, I see how that works.
26 okay, years yeah. from now, she has a shot of parole, and she was, she would have been in jail for, like, okay, let's see, she was in jail 2003.
Oh my gosh, I just figured out all of the parole stuff. It all just makes sense.
She would have to be in jail for 43 years.
She got arrested in 2006, I thought you said.
Right, 2006. So it would have been, she would have 40 years. She had to be in jail for 40 years.
I just realized this. When you murder someone,
my God,
you have 10 years before you're eligible for parole.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to wait 40 years for each count. I just figured that out.
She's a bit slow. So she has to be in jail for 40 years before she can get parole. So, you know, that was a ride.
Yeah, that was a roller coaster.
Just
that plant out there keeps scaring me. It keeps peeking out from behind the curtain, and I jump every time.
My mom has, like, a, I don't know what it's called. It's like a wispy plant, almost. And when it blows in the wind, it kind of looks like a head.
It's scary.
Yeah, my mom and dad were out at their friend's house one night, And I was here watching TV, and all of a sudden I saw it, and I, like, grabbed Charlie and ran. I grabbed my dog, and I ran. I was like, holy crap. And I've lived here for 14 years, and I still see that here.
Plant every day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, that was a roller coaster of a story. It's just...
I have no words.
Yeah, I mean, how can you? Like, she freaking killed her best friends.
And two other people.
Because they were prettier than her. Or at least that's what they think.
That's like the only explanation. There's no reason why she should have killed
her. There's literally zero reason. Because
there's reason to kill anyone.
Because they were never rude to her. They befriended her because they wanted her to be able to have friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just like the sweetest friends to her.
Yeah.
Ever. They never did anything bad.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, besides, you know, working at a strip club, but that's a different story. So,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
That was a... Wow. And when I was doing research on this, I was like, holy crap, this girl is a nut job. Like, you know.
That's what you get for being a drug addict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just hard to fathom, you know.
I'm just processing everything and still proud of myself for figuring out the whole parole thing.
Yesterday, and I'm still processing.
Huh.
Yeah, she's still learning parole.
The one I've got to do, I'm done processing it. It's just going to be so much fun to hear her.
So, you know, if you kill a bunch of people, then you're going to go to jail for 10 years for each person you kill before you can... have parole, so just don't kill people.
So, like, if you were to kill two people, you get sentenced to life, but you aren't eligible for parole for 20 years.
Yeah, why is that really worth killing someone because they made you mad or because they're prettier than you? Is it? No. Think to yourself, no.
Or because you just don't like them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, Skylar. Or because you... are fed up with your children because Knickerbocker doesn't want to date you.
Or because you got in trouble for hitting a girl with a baseball bat.
Or because you were stealing a pair of leggings and didn't want to get caught.
This is just the day where we look back on all of our podcasts. This is only, like, episode 6. And so, we're like, wow. Like, it feels like we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, because I feel like we've gotten so much better at it.
We have. We've gotten more comfortable with it. And we've gotten better at, like... having positive reactions to everything and not...
We're less shy.
Yeah, we are. Because Okay, I wouldn't say I'm more only known as a shy person, but when it comes to talking to people I don't know, I'm a shy person.
Yeah. I think not being able to see the people we're talking to actually helps a lot.
Yeah. Because you're like, wow, whoever's listening to this, they don't know how crappy I look right now, so, you know, who cares? They don't know
that I'm chilling in my sweatpants.
They don't know that I'm wearing fuzzy socks. Oh, now you do. Crap.
Or that my sock says Weekend Warrior. You know.
Mm-hmm. Stuff all like right. That. Well, we'll be here for our next episode.
Hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Uh-huh. So, we'll see you later.
Talk to you in the next one.
Bye, Tara.